I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. I'm back from vacation, and my guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on the program, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Rob joins me to discuss Atletico's 1-0 win over Alaves at the Wanda Metropolitano on Saturday. Another gritty, kind of ugly performance from Atletico, in some ways similar to their win over Betis last week, in some ways dissimilar. Atleti, for example, managing to run up 64% possession after running up just 26% against Betis the previous week. We'll rave about Fernando Torres' winning goal, Jaime Versalico's improvement. He's seen playing time. He's assisted both of Atletico's last two goals, both match winners, coincidentally. Angel Correa's game-changing second half, in which he ran right at a tiring Alaves defense and helped Atleti get the win. Plus, we'll preview Friday's trip to Cornea. It's a Friday night game in Catalonia. Atletico facing Espanyol should be another tough one just before the holiday break, and then it'll be Costa time. Before we get into all that, though, a couple housekeeping items. Important Patreon announcement, for one. Rob and I have decided to start recording bonus podcasts every Monday. We're going to start doing rumor roundups, as we're calling them. Short bonus podcasts talking about the latest news, transfer speculation, and so on. We'll break it down, analyze it, all that good stuff. That's for patrons only, so get on over to patreon.com/Colchonero Chat if you want to start listening to those bonus pods. Also, in a bit of a different neighborhood, please leave a rating and a review on iTunes if you enjoy this episode of Colchonero Chat, if you enjoy the program in general. A 5-star rating and a review gives the program more visibility when people search for La Liga, Spanish football podcasts, so on and so forth. Colchonero Chat will appear at or near the top of the queue, so please leave a rating and a review. Well, that's out of the way. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. I feel like we have to start with this. I'm sure you know what this is.
Yes.
We have to start with Griezmann and the controversies enveloping him now. No, this is a football podcast, and this is not a podcast where it's not usually a forum where we talk about this kind of stuff, but I think it's an important conversation to have.
It's certainly very important, because regardless of whatever the background of it is, it's very serious and not a good thing.
No, very much not a good thing, what Griezmann did. In case you missed it, which I don't know how you could have, on Sunday afternoon, I was just sitting in my living room chair, just watching football, like any good American does on Sunday. And you know, I see this picture come across my timeline with the caption, 80s party, from @AntoGriezmann. So I'm like, wait a minute, that looks like a black guy. I really hope that's not Griezmann.
Yeah.
So I tapped on the photo, and guess who I saw?
It was Griezmann in full blackface.
Yeah, oh, he fully committed to it. Like, not just the face.
Full body. That's a new one. I had a kind of similar experience. As soon as I saw that come up on Twitter, I knew it was going to be a big thing, as it should be. But man, that is pretty tone deaf.
Yeah, at the very least, it's ignorant, insensitive, tone deaf. Personally, from my vantage point, I think it's racist. But I can totally understand and respect the views of others who say, well, it's not racist, but it's at the very least culturally insensitive.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of. It's one of those things that has such a long history of oppression and people using it for racist purposes that even if that wasn't the express purpose, which, you know, we're pretty certain he wasn't doing it to be racist, but the fact is that for a lot of people that's extraordinarily offensive, and you can pretty clearly see why.
Yeah, it's not an open and shut case as a lot of these things go. There's more nuance to it, I think. I wrote this in my column on the site. Simply put, Griezmann has navigated enough cultural boundaries to where he can have no excuse for doing this. Like, he hangs out in North America all the time. He goes to NBA games all the time. And the NBA is a league predominantly made up of black players.
Yes.
So you'd think he would know better. It if it's not racist, it at least comes across as extremely insensitive, inappropriate. And he didn't recognize it, really, until Twitter just kept dunking on him.
That's right. And it was pretty clear that even after he posted it, that he didn't quite understand why people were upset, given the initial air quotes apology, which was not an apology, which was more like trying to double down on, like, oh, I'm just a fan.
Right. Initially, don't be mad. It was, I'm just calm down, you know?
It's like, that's just made it worse.
Yeah. And then it was like he had the light bulb went off. Oh, I see how that could be offensive.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and then
I kind of get the feeling someone said something to him, be it an agent or a friend or somebody,
It's interesting that you say
not do what you just.
It's
did there.
Interesting that you say agent, because Griezmann doesn't have an agent anymore. He doesn't have his PR firm anymore, so it's basically just him.
Well, I hope someone around him.
I mean, someone had to say something. He, knock some sense into him, but. This is an issue where we need to listen to each other. We need to talk to each other. Hold those who do this kind of crap in 2017, now 2018 almost. We need to hold these people accountable, no matter what their status is, no matter how we feel about them as players, as people. This is a time and a situation where we need to just listen to each other and not be afraid to express different opinions. And just from my vantage point, from my cultural vantage point as an American, I see it one way. In Spain, in Europe, culturally, it's very different. It's much more normalized there. It's much more a part of the culture. And I understand that. And this is a good opportunity to have that kind of discussion about why this is a larger problem.
Yeah, and like you, I'm also from the American vantage point, and so my opinion on all these things is don't ever try to portray yourself as a racial or ethnic group you are not.
That's a pretty good rule of thumb.
That can get you in quite a lot of trouble and is extremely offensive to a lot of different groups of people, regardless of how you meant it or what the intentions were.
It's a pretty good rule of thumb there, Rob.
Yeah, don't do blackface, please.
Just don't do it.
Don't do that ever again.
Just don't do it.
Yeah, let's just pump the brakes on that one for good.
Yeah, so Griezmann pretty wisely shut down social media last night. I don't think he's been on today, which, again, very good idea.
Yeah, so, that's going to be a whole thing, and I think he needs to show that he understands why people took offense to it and that he is sorry.
And I'm not sure
he does that and he shows that it's genuine, then I think we can all move on.
But yeah. That's kind of how I would go. I'd go the profuse apology route. His image has really been damaged overseas, at least, and because the American media just went in on him yesterday, understandably, justifiably so, but in Europe, he's probably almost certainly not going to face the same kind of backlash. I mean, Marca and Az buried this on their front page.
Right.
That's kind of symbolic of how it's viewed in Spain.
And I think as well, because so much of his brand and his personal interest has to do with stuff from North America, be it Drake and the Hotline Bling dance to NBA games all the time, this is going to be a problem for him. So he needs to show some growth on this one.
All right, we've litigated that. We've discussed that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the actual football.
Yes, because it's going well.
Yes. Match day 16. We have one game left in match day 16. Malaga and Real Betis, they play Monday night. We're recording this Monday afternoon. But going back to Friday, match day 16 results. So La Liga whip around. Let's do it. Sevilla and Levante playing out at actually a pretty entertaining 0-0 draw. At the Pizjuan, really good result for Levante, who are recovering a little bit from the pasting Atletico handed out to them a few weeks ago. Sevilla, kind of being Sevilla, really up and down, topsy-turvy season. Right now they're in fifth and 5 points behind, 5 points out of the last Champions League place, assuming Madrid have that game in hand.
Yep, I think they're destined for fifth place.
Yeah, there's still 22 weeks to go, but they seem pretty nestled already in fifth place.
Yeah, I think so.
They're 5 points ahead of Villarreal, and they're 5 points back of Valencia and Madrid with the game in hand.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to go up too highly. I think all the four teams above them are a step higher up in quality.
Agreed. On Saturday, Athletic and La Real Sociedad, the Basque Derby, it was a snooze fest. It finished goalless.
Standard.
Eibar, 2-1 winners over Valencia, Rob. What a result. Eibar now up to 8th. They have won 4 of the last 5. They're unbeaten in their last 5. They picked up 13 of a possible 15 points over those last 5 games. Jordan with the header on 86 minutes to secure the win.
Yeah, they had a real stinker to start the season, and they've really made up for it, which is good to see because they are a very tiny club operating on a very small budget, so we all like to see them do well.
Yeah, they're 9 points clear of the drop. Still have a pretty ugly goal difference at minus 10, but they're well clear of the drop. Valencia, well, this is the rough patch that we kind of, expected to see, but this is the rough patch we kind of thought we'd see at some point. 1-1 in the last 4. They've had injuries. Guedes came back for this game, but only from the bench. So it's. I think they need to buy in January, and they got to find a way to keep energy levels up because it's only going to get harder from here on out.
Yeah, and I think because their success has really only come this season, in past years they've been quite poor. This is sort of their first season with this group of players, and eventually they were going to hit a rough patch as they're not quite as established as Atletico or Real Madrid or Barcelona. So
yeah.
Yep, they're hitting a rough patch, but I think they probably should still be all right in the top 4 as long as the wheels don't totally come off.
On Sunday, Girona doing it again. 1-0 win over Getafe. Christian Stuani with his 9th goal of the season, of course.
He's on fire.
Yeah, man wants to go to the World Cup. He has scored, get this, he's scored 45% of Girona's goals this season.
That makes sense, because every time we look at their results, he's always scored, every single time.
Yeah, he really has. 9 goals for him this season. His 5th-minute winner enough against Getafe. Celta Vigo 0.
Getafe have been good, too.
Yes, they have. Celta Vigo 0, Villarreal 1. Nice win for Villarreal, a little bit fortunate. Celta, again, pretty unlucky despite having a boatload of possession. Las Palmas and Espanyol, this one was fun. It finished 2-2. Espanyol were 2-0 up until the very end when Las Palmas staged a furious rally to equalize and had a 94th-minute penalty that Jonathan Vieira missed. Could have won.
Yeah, and they really needed that because they're still rooted to the bottom of the table.
Yeah, they're...
It could get even worse if Malaga win today.
Yeah, if Malaga win, they will beat rock bottom and 4 points adrift of safety. They kind of... Yeah, that missed penalty, that kind of hurts.
And their goal difference stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been on the end of some thrashings.
Yeah, they've been on the end of some paddlings for sure.
Yeah.
Barcelona 4, Depor 0. This could have been 8 or 9-0. Barca, they hit the woodwork, I think, 5 times?
Yeah.
Paulinho scored 2 more goals because why not? Messi has... This is a fun stat. Messi is up to 14 league goals. He's also hit the woodwork 14 times. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, and
who does that?
I think that's a good point. It's entirely insane, and it kind of underlines the point that, you know, Messi, he may still be their top scorer, but he could have so many more goals, it's ridiculous.
Like
he'll probably get a little bit more lucky in the second half of the season.
He's not human. Yeah, that's a nice thought.
Yeah, which great. Is good for absolutely no one but Barcelona.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they won, and they are still 6 points clear of Atletico. Atletico are in second on 36 points. Valencia third on 34. Real Madrid have the game in hand. They're fourth on 31 points. And now we will talk about Atletico, the one result we didn't mention. Atletico 1, Alaves 0 on Saturday night at the Wanda Metropolitano. Atletico 1, Alaves 0. This was interesting because last week, we didn't have the podcast because I was on vacation, but last week against Betis, Atletico had 26% possession. This week, 64% possession. Both times, a 1-0 win.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen usually.
Goals.
Yes. Actually, really, really similar.
From Spanish players assisted by Versalico.
Yes. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. They were almost a carbon copy. And Sal was a little bit closer to the post than Torres was, but almost right. The exact same goal.
Yeah, both in the 6-yard box, I think.
Yeah. You know, something else is interesting is I'm on quite the prediction streak here.
Oh, are you?
I've done the how to watch for the last 4 games on the site. I predicted the scoreline successfully all four times.
1-0's a pretty safe prediction for this game.
Well, yeah.
I will say.
Yeah, I got the Real Sociedad result right, the Chelsea result right, this one and the Betis result right. I'm on fire.
You're on a run. You're on a run.
I'm on fire.
Are you going to go for 1-0 again against Espanyol?
We'll talk about that. Yeah, maybe. It seems like a safe bet right now, but...
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, this was... You know, this was, you know, kind of what you expect when Simeone rolls out four central midfielders. It took 74 minutes of huffing and puffing for Atletico to get a goal against an Alaves team that were organized, were structured, worked extremely hard for Abelardo, but just no shots on target. Really tired after halftime and following Correa's introduction. Is that how you saw it?
Yes, I completely agree. I don't think Alaves really ever created that many chances, even though they did outshoot Atletico. As you say, most were either off target or blocked. They didn't really have any quality chances, and Atletico really did well to basically kick the shit out of Munir for most of the match.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was interesting to me. They just went after him early and tried to unsettle him, and it worked.
It totally worked, and I think that was a good strategy, because for young players, if they're just getting kicked all over the place, as he was, he kind of lost a bit of confidence, and he didn't really offer that much for them.
Yeah, he had a few chances, but they were all like quarter chances and half chances. Five of Alaves' 11 shots came from outside the box, and none of them was particularly difficult. Jan Oblak didn't have to make a save, and we love days like that.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing to a save he made was when the craziest grab out of the sky. I mean, I don't remember who it was. It might have been Pedraza for Alaves, but he hit this incredibly hardly struck shot. But then Oblak just grabs it out of the sky, no big deal. I mean, he's been so good. So, yeah, he's the best.
He's now a two-time Zamora winner.
Well, he's on the way to getting it again, unless Barcelona can keep up the streak.
Yeah, because he's level with Ter Stegen. That's going to be a race to watch.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, Alaves they never generated anything. And Munir had been in really good form, so I think it was smart of Atleti to kind of rattle him a bit early. Pedraza has been one of their best players this season. He was really dangerous early before he kind of tailed off in the second half. Looking at the expected goals chart for this game, Alaves totaled 0.56 expected goals. The Torres chance alone was worth more expected goals than Alaves generated as a team.
Yeah, and I think depending on whose formula look at it, it came out around like 0.9 or 0.99 or even just around 1 for Atletico. So there you go.
It
looks like quite a fair result.
Yeah, it does.
And I think that's right. I think on balance, I think there were some poor performances from Atletico. I don't think Gamero was that good. I think Thomas and Saul never really got into the match in the first half. But even still, they pulled it out, and that's what we need to see. And the players that came off the bench looked a lot better than the subs have looked in recent weeks, which
Absolutely.
Is extremely encouraging.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this before, and we're probably going to keep talking about it. I really wish Simeone would stop doing this with the four central midfielders. I really wish he would stop this.
It really doesn't work.
Well, in a way, it does work. It's the problem, which just encourages them to keep doing it because it wears the other team out. In the second half, Alaves is very clearly tired. Just by brutalizing them and battering them in midfield for as long as Atletico did, it has an effect on a team that doesn't have the durability and the stamina and the quality of Atletico. I mean, that being said, you shouldn't be overthinking it against Alaves. You should be throwing out an attacking team at home against a side that's in the relegation zone.
That's right. And it does make Atletico more solid to have those four central midfielders, but attacking-wise, it doesn't really allow
disaster.
For much. I think the main reason Atletico generated the opportunities they did was because, in the first half especially, Koke was exceptional. I think he was really running the show. Gabby held it down in the midfield wall, which sort of allowed Koke to get forward a little bit more. And unfortunately, Sal wasn't as involved as we would have liked. I think he only had something like 49 touches, so
yeah,
wasn't extremely involved. But he'll have other days for that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, he got rest at the end,
right.
And that's important too because he doesn't get much rest. But with the problem with the four central midfielders is that you have 64% possession. and only two shots on target from your starters. You know, Carrasco and Torres came off the bench, and in the final 20 minutes, they registered alone as many shots on target as the entire team did.
Yeah, it's true.
Almost like it doesn't work in terms of exactly. Creativity. It works from the vantage point of you're going to wear out the other team. But you have 64% possession and four shots on target. Come on, bro.
You have to have at least one true winger. And I think at this point, I don't really... It's getting to the point where I'm kind of worried that something's happened between Carrasco and Simeone more than sort of what was rumored to have gone on last season. Because he just has not started at all. And I mean, Carrasco is extremely good and we need a winger, but yet he's just not starting.
No, this
is strange.
This was his seventh substitute appearance of the season out of 12 appearances total, so he's made more appearances off the bench than he has in the starting 11. I'm not really sure what's going on there, but it's nothing good from Carrasco's point of view that Simeone feels more comfortable coming out and with a really defensive approach rather than throwing on his arguably his most explosive and like purely explosive and purely pacey player. It's concerning. I mean, and I've thought for a while that Atleti are going to move on from Carrasco sooner than later, but this kind of just adds fuel to that fire, you know?
It seems more and more like that's going to be the case. I can't see how he's going to be happy with just starting on the bench every single week. And I don't think he will, because he is a great player, but for whatever reason, Simeone doesn't want him in the system, whether it's his personality or his attitude, or he just doesn't want that kind of player on the pitch, which I don't understand, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, it's his attitude, it's his inconsistency, it's despite his, you know, obvious gifts that he just can't quite put it all together.
Which is strange. He hasn't been able to in 3 years. He's an extraordinarily talented player.
Yeah, it's been three seasons, and he hasn't been able to put it all together still.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, and every time he comes on, you see exactly what his qualities are. He comes on, he wins all of his take-ons and gets shots on target, cutting inside onto his right foot. I mean, that's just what Carrasco does.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been really working this season, but I hope that he may get an extended run at some point, but it's not looking likely right now.
Let's talk Fernando Torres.
Yeah.
Like, Torres guy is going to make you eat your words, Rob.
Yes, yes. Torres scored a chance from about 2 yards out from goal.
Still a chance. He still scored it.
He did. He certainly did. And it was a very important goal as well.
Yeah.
Hey, I have no beef with Torres, and this is exactly what his role should be, coming off the bench to score.
Yeah.
This is what he is best suited for.
This is the exact performance. I think you wrote this in your ratings, too. This is, like, the exact performance Atleti require from Torres while he's still here.
Yes.
Finish, like, the one chance you will get. Work hard. Win the ball in the air, which he had won two aerial duels in 20-plus minutes. Work hard for the team. Just run your ass off and finish your chances. That's what Atleti require. And he did just that. I mean, Correa and Versalico made this goal happen. But
right.
Torres still finished the chance, and he got the credit.
That's right, and he should, because he had to be in the right position to make it happen. And I think, as well, aside from the goal, he did a very good job winning the headers in the box to set up teammates as well. And he is good for that. He's a good target man at this point. He obviously has no pace because he's old.
And he still thinks he has pace, which is sad. Yeah, he still thinks he has pace, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they just kind of need to tell me, doesn't it? But hey, he did a lot better than Gamero did, to be fair.
Oh, man, yeah. Gamero, again, no shots.
Nothing.
68 minutes, no shots. 17 touches.
Yeah. I don't really know. Yeah. It's not going to happen, is it?
No. It's not going to happen. It's not. Yeah. But Gamero's speculation about his future has heated up, and we'll talk about Gamero on our bonus podcast for patrons.
Yes.
That's right. So
rumor roundup.
Yeah, there you go. So if you're a patron, stick around for that. But yeah, Gamero again, just you know, he's gotten the nickname on Atleti Twitter of Faliero, and I think that, you know, that's not entirely accurate, because just he had the one chance around 30 or 40 minutes. It wasn't even a chance. He like whiffed on the ball and then got cut down by the defender as Pacheco scooped up the ball. He'd been hit clear. He'd been like, the ball was pinged to him. He had been sent clear, and then he just somehow managed to miss this.
And at first, I saw some people on Twitter saying it was a penalty. I tend to agree with you that he just kind of whiffed.
Maybe it might have been under a different referee, but he more whiffed on it than he was interfered with by the defender.
Yeah, to be fair, this referee was quite crap. But
oh yeah,
mad yellow cards in this one. I mean, everybody. I mean, it's in the first half, he was booking anyone and everyone.
Yeah, 7 total: 3 for Atleti, 4 for Alaves.
And Diego Simeone, even though managers can't get yellow cards, he effectively did get a yellow card in the first half. Basically, the referee told him to shut up. But, so Gamero, bad. Torres looked quite good.
Yeah.
But he should still be coming off the bench.
Probably. Especially.
But I thought Correa was sensational. As soon as he came on, he made an instant impact. I mean, some of the runs he makes are just so explosive and direct that it's something that Atletico don't really do with the starting lineup that was put out. Griezmann, you'd think, is like that, but he's not because he drops so deep at times. But Correa is just able to burst through.
Did you notice how Griezmann was like nowhere near the ball when the goal was scored?
Did you see?
It was like at the very edge of the box because you know why would a striker not be near goal?
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a bit strange, which kind of makes you wonder why that sort of his position that worked so well before when he was kind of playing a bit deeper and wasn't required to be the main man up front. I mean, he clearly benefits by not being the main striker.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
With Gamero up there might as well not be another striker up there with him.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, for real.
Gamero was just kind of like a red and white shirt out there.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. He was. I genuinely didn't see him after his whiff. Maybe penalty whiff.
Yeah, and he came off on 68 minutes, and it was the right decision. Simeone's substitutes in this game were excellent. Correa just completely changed the game. Alaves were already kind of running on fumes, and he just burned through them time and time again. Just so much energy, explosiveness, directness, which, as you mentioned, no one else really has. No one else really plays, of Atleti's regulars, really plays that way. And we've talked about it for at least a year now. That's been the case with Correa. And Carrasco injected a lot of energy into the side as well. Torres scored the goal. So the substitutions were on point.
Yes, really, really good.
And those haven't always been perfect for Simeone this season.
That's right. They've been really weird for a lot of the season, but in this game it's perfect. He brought off two of the central midfield alleged wingers in Saul and Tomas.
The central midfield mafia, please.
Yes, correct, sorry. And brought off Gamero for Torres, and it worked perfectly because, you know, Carrasco and Correa, they can get by players and make things happen, and then Torres is there as the sort of experienced striker because he knows, kind of unlike Griezmann, that he should be standing in the 6-yard box in case someone puts in a good cross.
Yeah, there you go. Another note from this game, the vaunted Savic-Godin pairing. They won their last 3 starts together.
Yes, they're both still slow, but... I mean, the benefit of them together is that they're not letting anybody get past them without getting axed. I think that worked out well in this game. I think over time it won't work out great, but honestly, Stefan Savic has been quite good these last few games. He's nothing spectacular, but
yeah,
very
consistent. he hasn't screwed up royally.
That's
so I guess
right.
You can argue he's been good from that vantage point.
Yeah, I mean maybe center backs do tend to hit their peak later on in their career than most other players, but I think maybe he's sort of getting a little bit more used to the system and hopefully making less mistakes, knock on wood. But, I would still prefer for Lucas or Jose Mata to play instead of Savic. But, I don't have any major beef with Savic playing. Ultimately, when you're playing a team that has a bit more about them than Alaves, then I think it has to be either Lucas or Jose Mata with Godin. Godin is sensational, but his pace is not so great. So if you're up against a team that has ridiculous pace or some explosive kind of wingers that you know are going to cut inside, then you really do need one of the younger guns to put on them.
Yeah, I mean, you should.
Otherwise, Savic will get exposed.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this earlier. Like, you shouldn't be lining up this way against, you know, a team that is this low in the table. But if you're going to, at least do it right. At least fully commit, you know? And yeah, they do indeed fully commit.
Yeah, they did. And it worked out in front of a kind of sort of empty-ish stadium. So maybe that's why. Maybe he knew that it wasn't going to be that full, so he kind of played a crappy style of football.
Yeah, yeah, not exactly a banner opponent.
But. Right, which is fair.
Yeah.
But I do think for the long term, it's not good to play Savage because one of those two center backs, either Lucas or Hosema, is going to be around for a while. One of them, I'm fairly sure we suspect, is going to leave, but you need to bed in one of them so that they're capable of being Godin's partner on a consistent basis.
Yeah, or Savage's partner, or whoever's partner. That the center back race is going to be really fascinating to watch and see how that unfurls.
Yes, indeed. And I think, you know, our two young center backs this season, I think, have both shown great quality. I mean, we know Hosema has a clanger in him, but I think this season he's been really good. And I love Lucas. I think Lucas is amazing. So I hope he plays more.
Matches maker of the match.
Ooh, it's a tough one. I mean, I might say Versalico. He had kind of a rough first half. The assist was good, but I want to give it to Torres because I've railed on him a lot.
Yeah.
So I'll give it to Torres extending the olive branch.
The olive branch, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it to Versalico if you're going to give it to Torres because Versalico was really good. He should play more.
Yes, he should. Turns out he's a good right back.
Who would have thunk it?
Yes. Certainly not us.
Who'd have thunk it? Yeah, that's two assists in two games.
Yeah, he's been great. I still hold out some very meager hopes that he will stay around, but because I really do think he's quite good.
Yeah. All right.
It's a long shot.
It is, but we'll see what goes down.
Yeah.
Last game of 2017 now. Well, the last competitive game because Atleti have their friendly in Egypt on the 30th. Atleti traveling to Espanyol on Friday. It's a Friday night game, as there is midweek league action, a whole lot of it. Of course, culminating with the Clásico on Saturday. But last year, Espanyol were very difficult opposition for Atletico. Just one goal between those two sides in the two games they played. Goalless draw at the Calderon, and then a 1-0 win at Cornea. Espanyol are tough to crack. I don't think they're very good, but They work hard. They're a really decent defensive side for where they're at in the table.
Yeah, they've been not so great this season, but if you look at the teams around them, their goals against is quite okay.
Yeah.
But they don't score that much. But you know, that's not really the problem for Atletico. The problem is going to be breaking them down. For me, I kind of feel like this is one of those games where Correa really needs to start. I don't think Gamero has shown enough that he's worth starting anymore. I think start Correa. If he doesn't work, you can bring on Torres off the bench.
I mean, Atletico are going to have a ton of the ball in this game, much like this one against Alaves. Espanyol are almost certainly going to match them in 4-4-2. And they're going to try to just cancel. They're going to try to cancel Atletico out. They're going to try to cancel each other out. I think Espanyol would love a draw from this one. Danger man is Gerard Moreno, who I think is one of the most underrated forwards in the league. He's got 7 goals in 16 games this season. He's kind of a complete do-it-all forward. Doesn't really get enough press, but he can kind of do just about everything. He tracks back, works really hard, really good ball control. And again, he's got 7 goals.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for sure. It's one of those matches where you kind of feel like a draw may be on the horizon, especially as an away match. But this team needs something more direct. So Carrasco, Correa, or both, ideally. But I think ultimately it won't end up being that.
It'll probably just be one of them, yeah. Correa is going to have to start because Atleti are probably going to have over 60% of the ball. And you need someone who's going to go at that defense. Although I can easily see Simeone rolling out a pretty similar side and just battling to a 0-0 in the first half, then putting on Correa in the second half and wearing him out. I can see Simeone doing that. But I know I agree. I think Correa should be in there from the off because they need directness. They need someone to break through. It's almost certainly going to be an Espanyol side that has 7-8 guys in the box from the early going.
Yeah, and you know, you and I both quite like Correa, and I understand people's frustrations with him because he certainly isn't perfect. But I think of all the strikers that are available that aren't Antoine Griezmann, he's the best of the lot. So yeah, he should start.
Does Torres start? I know you think he I know how you feel if he should start, but will he?
I think it's definitely possible. I don't think Gamero will start. I think it will either be Carrera or Torres. And I wouldn't really honestly be that mad if Torres started. Because both Torres and Carrera offer something off the bench as well as starting. But I think it should be Carrera. But if Torres starts, that's no big deal. I just don't think Gamero should start.
Yeah, you're off the Gamero train, aren't you?
I was willing to give him a chance when he scored those goals against Levante, but it's the same pattern we saw last season. He scores a couple in one game and then goes several weeks without scoring again. And that's just not very valuable for Atleti. Atleti just needs someone that will each week get you one goal. I mean, that is the ideal Simeone striker, but he can't do that.
I was going to say something, but I don't remember. I had something to add to that.
See it much longer.
I had something to add to that, but then I remembered I didn't.
All right.
No, 36. Okay, so I'll just leave that there. Call it.
0-0.
Bold, very bold. Yeah. I'm putting my streak on the line here.
Yeah, I know.
4 in a row. No. I'm gonna go 1-0 at Letty.
All right. There you go.
I know it's very uncommon.
A strong prediction.
It's very uncommon to see Atletico win a game 1-0.
Yeah, they've never done that before. Yeah. This last weekend was a total fluke.
The weekend before?
Yeah, and all the years before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's that. What else you got, man? Before we wrap up and do our bonus podcast.
I think that's it for the Alavés match. I think that's all we got.
Beautiful. Non-patrons, that was the voice of Rob Walker. You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. That's rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. That's jbberen. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/, you guessed it, Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes iTunes. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review, guys. Really helps us out, gets more eyes and ears on the program when people search Spanish football, Atletico, Madrid, La Liga, so on and so forth. Colchonero Chat will be at or near the top of the queue. So please leave a rating and a 5-star review if you like us that much. Head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/colchonerochat. As we mentioned a couple times during the show today, we'll be doing a bonus podcast there for our patrons about the latest transfer news and analysis of said transfer news. patreon.com/colchonerochat. Lots of other rewards as well. patreon.com/colchonerochat. We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.